Well, good morning. My name is Vicar Christian, and this is my first time here at Woodbury Lutheran's Oak Hill campus. If this is your first time here today, too, I would like to welcome you and join in this wonderful experience together for our first time. Today at Woodbury, all across all of our campuses, we're jumping into week two of Multiply. It's our sermon series that we're in, and it's also going to serve as the theme that we have over the next 2 years here at Woodbury. It's a big thing. It's the largest thing we have ever done. Before we get further into that, though, I just want to give you a snippet, a clip, a glimpse of what we're going to be talking about today. As disciples of Jesus, if I turn my clicker on, there we go. As disciples of Jesus, we influence. Disciples of Jesus influence. It's pretty straightforward. As followers of Christ, we influence others. That is, we will go out and we'll share the good news of Jesus. But what does influence really mean? If we were to look at it specifically for the word that it is, if we influence, influence is the power to have an important effect on someone or something. Maybe it's like this. If someone influences someone else, they are changing a person or thing in an indirect but important way. Kind of like that word, indirect. If we're changing someone, it's an indirect. It's not a, you will do this because of this. It's almost like your presence is just affecting them as a person. It's an indirect action. So I want to ask, have you ever been influenced? See some nodding. Has everyone in here ever been influenced in some way? I'm not even talking about through faith. I'm talking about as you as a person. Have you ever been influenced by someone else? Maybe it was the President of the United States at some point in your life has said something. Maybe it was a high school teacher said, this math problem is really hard, but I know you can do it. And that confidence encouraged you to go after it and get that problem correct. Any sort of influence. We all have. I know I have been, and I've been influenced by these people up on the screen. Little biography about myself, autobiography. At the age of 18, as a young man, very young man, I was hired for the first time in my life to serve within a congregation. I was a worship leader. I got to have the incredible job that Jill has here to play music and lead people in worship of Jesus. And it's really cool. Except for when I was 18, I wasn't thinking about how cool it was to be serving Jesus. I was thinking about how cool it was to be paid to play guitar. It's pretty cool. It still is cool. But that was the focus. The focus wasn't on Jesus. And so at the age of 18, Scott and Terry, who were serving at Living Faith Lutheran Church, you can look this up, in Marine City, Michigan, took this young, immature, and compulsive 18-year-old worship leader who thought he knew everything because he was in jazz band in high school, and they took him and they formed him into a disciple of Jesus. Not somebody who was proud of himself because he got paid to play guitar, but someone who had the desire and passion to serve Jesus Christ, to share his name with the world. I can tell you, if it were not for Scott and Terry, there is no way that I would be here today. They molded, they shaped me, and they moved me in indirect ways simply by their presence and example into a disciple of Jesus. I owe much of my future ministry to their influence on my life. Today, as we talk about disciples of Jesus influencing, it brings us back to the theme of multiply. Because in week two, we're talking about multiplying leaders. Last week, Dean spoke about multiplying disciples, correct? Theme was disciples. We multiply disciples. We multiply followers of Jesus. But this week we're talking about leaders. Someone to lead those disciples, to shape, to mold, and to sculpt them into disciples of Jesus. If we follow multiply, I gotta say, I said it before, it's the largest thing we've ever done. In the next 2 years, Multiply is a one-fund initiative that will sponsor and supply the funds needed for everything ministry-wise that we want to do in these next 2 years. The big number is $8.4 million. That's huge. That's ginormous. But it covers everything in 2 years. It's not this extra thing on top of anything else. That's just all of what we want to accomplish in 2 years. So there are several things I want to think about in Multiply. It's not just a fundraiser, but it's a vision that we have as a church for 2 years. And to make it effective, this sermon series, as we lay the foundation for the years to come, there's a couple things that I want to share hope-wise that I think will make Multiply that much more effective for all of us as a congregation, as a family of Christ. Number one, I really want you to make a point to be here every Sunday in this sermon series as we talk about Multiply. Last week we talked about disciples. This week we're talking about leaders. And every week we're going to have a specific topic about how we're going to multiply as a church. I want you to be here to hear it. Number two, that you would pray and believe that Multiply will change Woodbury Lutheran Church. We know that God's in control, and we know that he has the power that Dynamin that Dean talked about last week. We know that he can do it. He has the ability and the means to do it. But I want you to believe that he does, because we know that through God, all things can happen. Through Jesus, all authority, all power has been given to him in heaven and on earth. He can do wonderful things for our church, for his church. Number three, I would love for you, if you've not already joined a small group, join a small group. It's a wonderful, tight-knit thing. Especially when I serve at Valley Creek, it's a large place where we run into hundreds and hundreds of people on a Sunday morning. But I know even here as a tight-knit family here at Oak Hill, small groups are something that help benefit us as a congregation as it pulls us closer together each and every week. So we'll take the things that we talk about on Sunday and we'll dig a little bit deeper as a family, together, in a small group. So I encourage you to join. And then finally, I said $8.4 million at the start. 8.4. I'll be honest, I don't really care about that number. That number is not important to me. Money is important. Finances are important to fund ministry. But the number that I really care about is that there would be 100% participation through our church. If all of us participate, if all of us join and buy into this movement, this initiative, I know that whether we hit 8.4 million, go beyond 8.4 million, or go under 8.4 million, if all of us participate, I know that God is going to lead us to the amount that he has intended us to have by working through his people, by working through his church, by working through us together, every one of us. I know that he will accomplish what his mission is. So we're going to jump back into week two. Disciples of Jesus influence. They're leaders. We multiply. Disciples of Jesus influence. We're going to go into our epistle lesson. Who read for me? Sydney, thank you for reading. That was wonderful. I'm glad to see you up here reading. So 2 Timothy, she read for us, and I'm going to bring it forward. If you like opening up your Bible, I encourage you to do that. It's a palindrome, I think. It's 1001 in your pew Bible. 1001. We'll read it together. I'll give you 30 seconds. I'm not going to rush you. I encourage you. I love having it in your fingers, in your thumbs, in your face, that you can just peer through it and read it at your own leisure as I pull it up in front of you. 1001. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 10. If you are there, say amen. Give you another 5 seconds. If you're there, say amen. That's a little bit louder. We can start moving. And if you're not there yet, keep digging. It's okay. You can join us. Timothy, my dear son. This is Paul speaking. Be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. You, Timothy, have heard me, Paul, teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. The things that Paul is teaching, verb subject agreement. Paul is teaching is that Jesus lived, he died on the cross, and he rose again for the forgiveness of all of your sins, that you too, on the day of resurrection, will rise and live with him forever. That's the truth. And not only was it the truth, it's been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Some who probably even saw Jesus rise from the dead themselves. It's been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Witnesses influence. They influence the process. They say, I have seen this. It is true. They share that news. And it indirectly changes the people who they speak with. It's a leader. So who has influenced you? If we're talking about many reliable witnesses, we're talking specifically about those who have influenced Timothy's faith. There's Paul. I would say Paul is a mentor kind of character to Timothy. He's not his relative, but he's there teaching and influencing and leading Timothy in the faith. If you're more familiar with the story, you may know about Lois and Eunice. They are Paul's mother and grandmother. They have this wonderful influence. They helped raise him in the faith. They instructed him the truth, and he heard them as reliable witnesses. I know for me, my mother was instrumental in raising me in the faith. I know she played a very large role. My grandmother as well. And I mean, in fact, when I went to seminary, my grandmother, she got me this huge, thick study Bible. And it was so cute. And I treasure and cherish that she would try to send me with the most meaningful gift she possibly could. I'm very grateful for it. But how about you? Maybe your parents, maybe your mother, maybe your grandmother are instrumental and sharing the faith. I was kind of digging and looking through some quotes as I was putting this together, and there was a fascinating one that I came across. I think it was a sociologist. I didn't remember her name, but what she said struck me. She said that the songs that your mother sing to you in the cradle, you will be humming in your coffin. That kind of struck me. Your mother is that influential to you that the songs that she sings in your youth, in your childhood, you will remember and carry with you to the grave, and you will sing them yourself. I think that's pretty powerful, pretty true. Parents do a wonderful job of influencing children. Maybe you've been influenced by a best friend. Maybe your father or your grandfather. I know for me, my father was also a big influence. Has anyone here... I had a few hands go up in the 9 o'clock. Let's flip it a little bit. Have any of you been influenced by your children? Been influenced by your children. That's incredible. You hear, to have faith like a child. Children can be wonderful influences of faith. They truly can be. It's not something that we talk about, but when we think about Timothy, Timothy is a young man. Timothy is maybe high school age, maybe, somewhere in there. He's not like many of the other disciples who are teaching, who are older. He's a young man, and some people actually thought that, well, Timothy's young. He couldn't really be that much of an influence. But Paul says, nonsense. Nonsense. You've heard the truth. You have been taught true things. Many people have confirmed it. And you have the ability. You have the ability to go and influence the people of the world. Absolutely. You have heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach. Paul is sending Timothy. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. I want to stop one more time. I want to look at the word trustworthy. Paul's not saying only teach the good news about Jesus Christ to people who are trustworthy. Don't only do that. Spread the word with everybody. But if we're setting people aside to be teachers and leaders in the congregation, people who will be able to pass the truth on to others that Jesus Christ has come, he's died, he's risen for the forgiveness of sins, people who teach that message, got to be trustworthy people. We don't want to pass that responsibility on to people who would abuse that power or that privilege. We don't want to pass that ability on to people who are kind of mild and aren't really all in to Jesus. We want to pass that on to people who are trustworthy. Or if we're to take the word trustworthy, we want to pass it on to people who are faithful. Someone who believes the words that they teach. Someone who follows the instructions that's been given to them. You can't really see trust. Trust is an intangible quality about someone. I can't reach out and touch trust. I can't smell trust. I can't really see trust. But I can see faithfulness. I can see somebody who is constant and firm in the beliefs that they have. Someone who actually carries out what they say that they're going to do. That's faith. That's being consistent. That's faithfulness. You can see that. And that's a quality that disciples of Jesus have. Disciples of Jesus are faithful. If we say that Jesus Christ came, died, and he rose, and that one day we will rise with him, if we say that and believe that, it's going to affect the way that we live our daily lives. If we believe it's the forgiveness of sins, that he came and he died for us and he loved us so much to do all that for us, we're not just going to be people who sit in a pew on Sunday and then go live our lives like normal, regular, everyday people after that. It changes us. We live differently because of that. We put our words into practice. We're faithful. We trust in the words that we cling to. It's kind of intimidating, though, when you think about it. If you've been charged to influence others in the name of Jesus, it's intimidating. In fact, I told the 9 o'clock earlier, when I was younger, when I was in high school, when I was in college, even a couple of years into college, I was the kind of person, I felt uncomfortable saying the name Jesus if I wasn't in a church on Sunday morning. And I know that's true of some of us who are here, and I'm going to say, that's okay. I was there. I know what it feels like. It's intimidating, and it's awkward, and it's uncomfortable. But even so, we're still tasked. We're still given the job to go out and influence future disciples of Jesus Christ. So how can we cut through that? How can you be given the ability to influence others? We'll go back to the reading. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Timothy, be strong. That's a command. Be strong. Do it. Be strength. Be powerful. Live strength. And that sounds like good advice, but that sounds like a choice I have to make. If I'm uncomfortable, I have to choose to be strong. I have to choose of my own will and ability to be strong for the sake of everything that I'm doing. And that's not really what Paul's saying here. This is just a nuance. This is a nuance in Greek. Be strong. Dean last week, he talked about dynamin. If you were here last week, it's a Greek word. It means power or strength, to be strong, or to be like dynamite, dynamin, explosive, that energy, that force. That's what dynamin means. Dynamin is this word on the right. But in Timothy, we see the word on the left, and it's pronounced endynamu. And so it's a passive verb. I'm not physically being strong. I'm not physically choosing strength. But what it means, since it is a passive verb, it means that strength has been given to me. It's not that I've chosen strength. It's not that I have the ability to be strong on my own. But it's the strength that Christ has put into me. It's not my own ability, but his. It's to be made able. Maybe this rings a bell. It's not I who live, Christ who lives in me. Have you heard those words before? That's a powerful reminder that it's not my power, not my ability, not my comfortableness, but it's Christ who comes in me, who gives me the power, who gives me the ability to influence, who gives me comfort in my times of discomfort. It's all about Christ. Through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. It all comes back to Jesus. Everything comes back to Jesus. If we're influencing others, it's only because he's given us the strength. He has made us
Abel.
He said this in the book of Acts. I wanted to share it with you. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You won't just be witnesses, but you will receive power and be my witnesses. All comes back to Jesus. And you will witness about me. And you'll witness to Jerusalem, through Judea, and Samaria. And furthermore, you will go to the ends of the earth. Go to all the world to spread my name. So whom can you influence? Whom do you have the ability to influence? We talked about children. If you're a mother or a father, you can sing the songs, and your kids will remember them throughout their life, even to their grave. How about your friends? You can influence friends. How many of you are in high school or middle school? I have never had more friends in my life than I was in high school. I became quite uncool and unpopular later in life. Kind of sad. But you can influence your friends. You can share the good news. The people that you rub elbows with every day, you have that ability. Be encouraged. Be strengthened through Jesus to share that good news with friends. How about your family? Do you guys sit around the dinner table and just talk about Jesus or pray before you eat? Maybe that's an idea you want to implement. How about your boss? How many of you have the guts to go and witness and be an influence on your boss? You do. God be with you. That's an intimidating job. For me, I think going back to that word we looked at the very beginning, an indirect influence. If I were to influence my boss, it would be indirect. It would just be my presence. It would be my humble service where I go in every day. I don't make a big fuss about anything, but I quietly witness my faith just through action in front of my boss. Be encouraged to do that. If that's where you need to start, I encourage you. Take strength. Be given that ability and trust through Jesus. Same goes for your coworkers. How about our youth? Not just your children, but everyone's children here. Everyone has the ability. Your neighbors, obviously, your parents, again. How about each other? You guys influence each other? I know when I was a young man again, and I say that relatively. When I was a young man, when I went to church, I would go and I would sit in a pew, and I would look forward. I would not look to my left. I would not look to my right. In fact, I hated thinking that were people around me. I thought that faith was a very personal thing. It was all about me and the Lord. I'm sure some of us here have kind of felt that way before. And faith is a personal thing to some degree, but faith is also a community thing. We come together. We gather as brothers and sisters, as a family of Jesus. It's bigger than just you and me. It's about us and the Lord together as a family, as one. So when I think about multiply, when I think about how we're going to make an impact and how God's going to change the congregation, if we come together and influence each other and multiply, if we hold each other accountable, say, I want to buy in to multiply. I want this thing to change me. Can we influence each other to say that? Can we say, Lord, use me to influence my brothers and sisters who are with me this morning. Use me to have that conversation with them so I can encourage them to join us and multiply. Let them know that I'm all in and that I would love for them to be all in too. That all of us, 100% of us, could join and multiply. We can encourage each other. We can influence each other. We can strengthen each other and remind us that through Christ we have the ability to do so. Maybe you want something a little bit more concrete. Maybe not just a possibility of influencing each other or your neighbors. How about something more specific? If we're looking at multiply, how will multiply specifically allow us to influence others? How about future pastors? Through multiply, you have the ability to influence future pastors. Some of you know, as a vicar is really just a pastoral intern. I'm not a pastor, not yet. One day I will be, but now I'm studying to become one. So in a very real, tangible way, you're influencing me as we walk through this process. But Even more so, I'm not the first one, and I'm not the last vicar who will be here. There have been 24 others, 25 others, that have come before me, who you've helped shape, mold, and influence into faithful disciples of Jesus serving in the pastoral ministry. This is the gospel lesson that we're working with today. We read an epistle, a letter from Paul. This comes from one of the gospels. This comes from Matthew. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus said to his disciples, actually, read this part with me. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few." Say that again. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. The harvest is great. The workers are few. There are hundreds and thousands and millions of people in this world who have not heard the name of Jesus. They have not heard the good news about the forgiveness of sins. They don't know their Lord and Savior. How can you influence others to know that? Well, the workers are few. One of the first places we can start is we can multiply leaders within the church. That's one of the places we can start. But the workers are few. I'm going to jump back into autobiography mode for a second. I am one of 49 pastoral interns or vicars in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod from Concordia Seminary. One of 49. Break this down a little bit further. There are 50 U.S. states. There are not enough vicars or interns to put one in each state. The harvest is great. The workers are few. Let's go a little bit further. There are 26 unfilled pastoral calls in southern Minnesota, just the bottom third of the state. There are 26 unfilled. There are 50 states, 49 vicars, but just in the bottom third of Minnesota, there are 26 congregations that are asking for a pastor, but they just don't have one. There's not one available. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. How do we multiply leaders? How do we address this? How do we fix this as the body of Christ? How do we help find workers to go and harvest the field? One of the ways that we can do this is through specific ministry pastors. Those are not pastors that go through the seminary, kind of like what I do, where I go there for 2 years. I come here as an intern and I go back for a third year. But they are people that we raise up from within our church, and we give them pastoral training here in the congregation. And they are raised up, and eventually they're called to be ordained pastors within our church. And they serve as pastors, just like a regular pastor would. That's a way that we can form a pastor, and we're going to fund that through some of what we get from our initiative in Multiply. You are able to help influence future pastors here in this congregation. But we don't just want to stop at pastors. Pastors are wonderful. Pastors are great. But there are more ministry options than just a pastor. We have potentially a leadership pipeline where it's not just pastors, but maybe youth workers. Maybe you have shut-in workers who specifically go and visit people who are unable to go to church. Maybe we have different ministry where we go out and we specifically look at missions. Maybe one day we'll fund a multi-site that specifically goes out into downtown Minneapolis or downtown St. Paul and we plant a church there. Maybe that's another way in which we go out and we multiply leaders within a community to serve the church. But that's just here. That's just here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Woodbury, Stillwater area. What about the world? What about the world? Through Multiply, our goal is not just to help our immediate friends and neighbors, but to help those around the globe. Through Multiply, we also want to help train up pastors in Ethiopia. Thousands and thousands of miles away, We want to help serve a church there. The church in Ethiopia, the Lutheran church, by the way, is one of the fastest growing churches in the world. Growing so quickly that they have outgrown the amount of pastors that they have. It's kind of the opposite of what's happening here. We have so few pastors going to be trained that we can't keep up with the amount of people that we still have in our church. Ethiopia, on the other hand, has so many people learning about the good news and coming to Jesus that they can't keep up. They just don't have enough pastors. What a glorious problem to have, right? I would much rather be facing that problem. But we can help fix that too by helping pay for students there who really want to go to seminary but just can't afford it. That's something we can do if we all join in and multiply. That's something our church family can do. To do that, maybe some of you received this prayer card last week where we're asking Jesus to be with us. I'll read it to you. Jesus, unleash your power in me, in my relationships, in our communities, and in your world. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.